At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Monday morning, December 23rd, 2019, the Beating the Book podcast. Guessing lines for week 17 in the National Football League. The final guessing lines of the year, the final week of the National Football League regular season. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to all. Chris Andrews standing by to do what we always do, take a crack, and in this case, I mean a sort of inexact crack, more inexact than ever, for week 17 lines. Some will be really easy, some will just be about throwing our hands up in the air and hoping. So many motivation issues, so many scenarios. We'll talk about all of them as we take a look back at week 16. Week 17, though, guessing lines, the squirreliest of all weeks, right here on the Beating the Book podcast. Enjoy.
It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy holidays to all. It is a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Vegas Stats and Information Network, SiriusXM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, and Game Plus. It is Gil Alexander, producer number five, Jeff Parlay is here. What's happening, Parlay? You good?
You know what? I'm in a great mood today.
I am.
Why wouldn't we be?
Merry Christmas, man. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to all, whatever it is you're celebrating. You out of here after the show today for a couple days, Parlay? Right after the show. Out of here.
Well, you're off. You're off to, I would imagine, probably the Bay, as always.
Because the Bay.
That's where you always go whenever you leave town, it seems.
To the Yay.
But, no, it's a great time of the year. It was a very perplexing football weekend. And now we go into an even more perplexing football weekend.
So here's what we're going to do on the show today. It is a guessing lines. It's our final guessing lines of the year. Chris Andrews is standing by. I'm Mike Mishpucha. He will do this, of course, with us. Week 17 is always squirrely. I really can't come up with a better word than that. So this is less guessing lines than it is just taking a stab at stuff. And it's one of these things where the exercise is, I just glanced at it and guessed, and I'm either really right on it or the guesses are horrific. And there's so many of these games that there's just no rhyme or reason to what the number would be. We'll talk about all the motivational angles here in Week 17 in the NFL, and we'll talk about every single playoff scenario, down to ridiculous minutia where it comes to teams like the Raiders and the Seahawks. Let's bring them in to discuss all. It is our friend from the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook, the director of that sportsbook. It's our friend Chrissy Andrews. Good morning, Chris. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Gil. And I imagine there's a lot of happy people out there today because we got murdered this weekend.
Yeah.
It was a tough weekend for us.
What were your biggest decisions that went against you?
Oh man! I mean, I was going over the games yesterday with Jimmy, and it was like we lost like every game. I'll have to start bringing it up, but Thank God. I expunged it from my memory. But, of course, last night was the capper. We needed the Bears for a fortune because we had everything going into that. And, I mean, and really, you could see early on, we had pretty much, like, no chance whatsoever.
No, you know, no chance whatsoever. No pulse.
That's the way it goes.
As the Bears fans
we
got
really
to watch.
Didn't. You know, I mean, it was really.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know, just terrible.
Yeah,
just
Bears fans got to watch Patrick Mahomes just destroy them in front of their very eyes, the guy that they decided to trade in front of. What are you saying back there, Jeff?
I'm just counting to 10 like Mahomes was after that first touch.
Oh, my goodness. So they trade up for Trubisky. They draft him second. There's Mahomes who goes to the Chiefs, who they traded up to get a 10, and the Bears got to see it in all their glory. That's who they could have had. Yeah. All right, Chris, well, let's do this.
We had some bad ones, too, like that.
Go ahead. I think we're on delay again. Yeah, we got that first segment delay going. Go ahead, Chris.
I hate that.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say, the other really bad one was the Raider game. Early in the week, we got steamed heavy on the Chargers, but we got late money on the Raiders and way more than I wanted. It just kept coming in on the Raiders, and especially on the money line. And that wound up being a terrible, terrible game for us. You know, we just needed the Chargers to win in any way. You know, they didn't have to cover, but just win. And that's another game. We were kind of out of that early, too. You know, so it was a rough day for us, I can tell you that. But the players should be really happy this weekend.
Your college Saturday was a little better?
Saturday, the college was okay. You know, we had a couple of bad games. What game fell on three? I can't go back to which game was on Saturday that fell on three? My mind's drawing a blank here. The one Saturday game, we had gone from 2.5 all the way to 3.5, back to 3. So nobody had a losing ticket on that game. It was Texans and Buccaneers, you know. So we went from when the rumor was out that Winston was out, we were up to 3.5. And then when he came back in, we went all the way down to 2.5. And that was an ugly game for us.
All right. So, I was trying to think of a college game.
It's not a good weekend. We're licking our wounds.
I was trying to think of a college game that went on three, and I was like, I couldn't think of any. But, yes, Tampa Bay, Houston did fall on three. Chrissy, we got a lot to get to. Let's start with all of these games are on Sunday. There are no Saturday games. There are no Thursday games. There's no Monday night game. You have a daytime window, an afternoon window, and then you have the capper at night, which I know is Seattle and San Francisco, which is flexed to Sunday night. And what we have, the first sort of betting thing to know is that all correlated parlays have been legislated out. So games that relate to each other based on playoff circumstance. So if this team does this, then it means this for this other team. In other words, does it render this game meaningful or meaningless based on another result? All of those end up being in the same time window. Tennessee-Pittsburgh and Dallas-Philadelphia, those results are all in their same windows. So there's nothing to sort of wait for from one window to another and think that you can get a betting advantage. We'll see if there's anything else to get into regarding that. But that's the main thing, is that most of the most potential correlated parlays have been legislated out because they fall into the same time windows. Let's start with the early games, though, Chrissy, because we got a whole bunch to get to here, a whole bunch of implications and scenarios.
Yeah, we got 13 early games. So we got 2 in the afternoon and 1 at night.
Jeez.
So it's going to be a crazy morning.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But you're right, though. I mean, it has to be legislated out. It was a picnic in the old days for gamblers to create those parlays.
Yep.
And we as bookmakers had to watch that. And then the NFL kind of got hip to it, too. And like you said, legislated it out. So anyway, first up, Tennessee at Houston.
Tennessee at Houston. Now, a couple weeks ago, this was like, all right, well, Tennessee and Houston get to play each other in weeks 15 and 17. And they were tied at the time, and there was all kinds of implications. Well, not so much anymore. It means a lot for Tennessee. It could potentially mean seeding differences with the Texans. Tennessee, yesterday, they lose to New Orleans by the score of 38-28, a game that they led 14-0, but they could not stop the New Orleans onslaught. They have here's the story with Tennessee. They will clinch a playoff berth with a win against Houston in this ballgame at Houston. With a loss to Houston, they would still clinch a playoff berth with a Pittsburgh loss to Baltimore and an Indianapolis loss to Jacksonville. By the way, you'll hear this a lot about Indianapolis. They cannot make the playoffs themselves, but they have the result of their game impacts lots of other teams. So good for you, Indianapolis. You get that much. So again, clinch a playoff berth for Tennessee with a win here against Houston. A loss to Houston, they could still get in with a Pittsburgh loss to Baltimore and an Indiana loss, Indianapolis loss to Jacksonville, both of which, you know, very possible. We'll get into why. Tannehill yesterday, 17 for 27 for 272, but he was sacked four times by halftime, five total in the game. Tennessee had the ball with 4:24 left in this game. They were down by a field goal to the Saints. And then the Saints turned the ball over after lining up for a punt, snapping the ball short to Taysom Hill, throws to a wide open Justin Hardy Sr. He drops the ball. And then the next play, with the Titans looking good, just down three, Tannehill throws to Khalif Raymond to the New Orleans 40. And rookie safety C.J. Gardner-Johnson for the Saints hits Raymond, knocks the ball loose. Gardner-Johnson picks it up, runs 38 yards to the Titans 25. No flag for what Titans coach Mike Vrabel thought could have been a hit to the head of a defenseless receiver, and that's pretty much where it ended. Derrick Henry did not play yesterday for the Titans. Hamstring injury. For Houston, they are AFC South champs. We know that already. Four out of the last 5 years, by the way, they've been AFC champs, AFC South champs. Only the Patriots and the Chiefs with four division titles since 2015, like the Texans. Those are the three teams. Now, the Texans could move up to number three if they beat the Titans in this game, and the Chiefs lose next week, thanks to a head-to-head tiebreaker over the Chiefs. By the way, as Chrissy just mentioned, Houston beating Tampa Bay in a turnover-filled game on Saturday by a field goal. Another game where Will Fuller, by the way, left. He's made of glass. He left with a groin injury. Didn't return in the second quarter. That's a huge thing for Houston. Mm. But really, Houston's in. It's just a matter of seeding. And we've done this many years where we talk about, oh, a team can affect their seeding. And what we find is that teams that only have seeding implications really don't seem to care as much as we think they might. When they're in, they're kind of content at this point in the situation that Houston's in, like the situation Houston's in. So Tennessee's at Houston. Tennessee, I will say, is minus three, but again, the caveat being it's week 17. Who knows what these lines are going to be? I'll say Tennessee minus three for all the reasons stated.
It's funny, I hear from a lot of people saying, boy, how many times do you like Gill's number better? This is one of those times.
Yeah.
Like Gill's number
better.
Oh,
no, what is it?
It's Tennessee 5.5.
Oh.
It's 5.5. And
wow.
Even I see 1.6. You know, I know what you're saying about the seeding, and I believe that to be true. But I also say these teams that need the game, boy, that's one of the most overbet angles in sports.
Yeah.
And so I see 5.5 and 6. I'm going to be on the low end here and stick with the 5.5. And let me just, you know, before we go too much further, I hate this week. I just despise it. And but of course, you know, it's, you know, what can you do? It's part of the game. You know, so I will be extra careful on all these games, but I'll open 5.5 just because I do see it a little bit higher. And I even see 5.5 with a little juice on the favorite. See a 6 out there. So I'll open 5.5. But, like this is, you know, James Salinas, like I always say, he's like one of the great amateur psychologists I've ever seen when it comes to handicapping, certainly. Try to put on your James Salinas hat this week because you got to read into this as much as you can and see what you can figure out, who's playing, what coaches are doing, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, you never know with some of these. But right now, I think that number's a little too high. But, you know, we'll have to see as the week progresses.
Yeah, and you make a great point. So, on the one hand, what I was saying, Houston, they're in. It's just a matter of seeding. And usually when we think that matters to teams, it oftentimes doesn't. The point you're making is Tennessee, if they win, they're in. If they lose, I just mentioned a scenario where they could still get in. So it's not an absolute must-win situation, but it's a borderline must-win kind of thing. And in absolute must wins, what you were just talking about is, you know, we think the average fan, oh, must win. It means more to them. And Dr. Bob was just on my podcast last week with Jeff and Todd, who was on the Megapod, the Beating the Book Megapod. And he has a database of teams that are in absolute must wins. By the way, it's tough for a database to pick it up. He has to go back and do those manually. And over some huge sample size, it's a horrific ATS record for teams that are in must-win situations against teams that are in not must-win situations. So don't think that just because Tennessee has more to play for, that it's a lock. So I've got three, and you said you're putting it up at?
5.5.
5.5, and you like my number better. We're getting, like, yeah, we are getting a lot of people on Twitter saying that. How many times does Chris say, like, Gill's never been? All right, let's do another one, because you're right. I mean, that game alone, we're one game in, and already it's like, who knows, right? With motivation.
Okay, here's another barn burner. Cleveland at Cincinnati.
Cleveland at Cincinnati. And, Jeff, you were saying now to me in my ear that they have switched the timing on games so that there's 8 early and 7 in the afternoon. Is that right?
That is correct. That was announced late yesterday. Oh. So that Tennessee-Houston game will be a 1:25 Pacific start in Houston, so 4:25 East. This this barn burner of the Battle of Ohio did not move. It is a 10 a.m.
It is a 10 a.m. game. All right, so maybe you should announce the 10 a.m.s. We'll do that. So we'll start with this one since Chrissy just mentioned. So Cleveland at Cincinnati. Let's not belabor the point here. Cleveland was eliminated from playoff contention yesterday. Their loss to the Ravens. They'll miss the playoffs for the 17th straight season. 17 seasons in a row, no playoffs for the Cleveland Browns. Their 12th straight losing season, and we all remember, for those of us who are immersed in betting, they were the darling of bettors in the offseason. One more week till I cash my plus 155, Cleveland not making the playoffs over there at Billy Hill that I got before the season. Odell Beckham Jr. flinging his helmet on the sideline in frustration, exchanged words with Freddie Kitchens. Less than 90 seconds left in the first half. Browns are down 7-6, and Baltimore has no timeouts left. Incomplete pass. And then instead of deciding to give the Ravens the ball back with mere seconds left rather than a full minute plus, another incomplete pass. It's just that the time management is egregious. And, of course, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens go back down the field and score, and it's 14-6 at the halftime, game over kind of thing. Cincinnati loses to Miami in what was just an unbelievable comeback. I guess we should talk about these games for a second. Cincinnati down 23 in that ball game to the Dolphins late. Miami gives up 16 points in the final 29 seconds of regulation. Regroup, end up winning in overtime against the Bengals 38-35. But 396, 4 touchdown passes, including 3 in the final 501 of regulation for Andy Dalton. Again, a 23-point comeback. I had looked away, and my buddy Ray texted me. He's like, oh, my God, Cincinnati. I thought his text was, like, delayed for 2 hours or something. Like, what is he talking about? But the Bengals get the number one pick in the draft. That's the real upshot of their loss. They clinch the number one pick in the draft. Most people think they're going to take Ohio-born and raised Joe Burrow for their pick next year. So they're on the clock. I'll just say Cleveland -3 because, you know, I don't know, I guess.
It's 2.5 with juice on the favorite. I don't see any threes. I guess I'm going to open 2.5. But that was one of those games. Well, I was talking about the Miami game. I had it like in a corner TV. I'd quit watching it. And then All of a sudden they scored twice and like two deuces in the last 30 seconds.
Amazing.
Obviously, that was one game we actually won that one. I don't know how we did. But the Cleveland game, again, Freddie Kitchens. And I think I quoted on this show last week, Paul Feinbaum, that talked about, you know, he's famous for covering the SEC, primarily Alabama. Followed Freddie Kitchens from high school through college and then, you know, as a pro, in his pro career as an assistant coach. And he went on record saying it might be the worst hire in NFL history. And yesterday would be a perfect case in point.
That sequence at the end of the first half.
My source who told, Yeah, I mean, that was a terrible game for us. Meanwhile, they had a chance to cover, you know, getting a big number, and of course couldn't. Anyway, I'm going to open 2.5. I think we've talked about this game enough.
Yeah, I think we
have. Poor Joe Burrow is all I could say. You know, poor Joe Burrow.
Poor Joe Burrow. I agree. And by the way, the only other thing I will mention about this game is our dear friend Todd Wishnev had an in-game on the Dolphins -3.5. I'm sorry.
I saw that. Poor kid.
I mean, it's just poor kid. That's all I can say. That's horrific. All right, let's do another. Jeff, why don't you announce a 10-8?
I know this is still a 10.
Why doesn't Jeff?
Yeah, Jeff. I still have an old schedule.
You give all us
right,
a 10 a.m.
Good. I control the course of the show now.
Yeah.
This is a dangerous game for all of us. We're going to go to Tampa now. We'll go Atlanta at the Bucs.
Okay, this game means nothing. Atlanta, 6-9. They've won 5 of 7 games since starting 1-7. Good for the Falcons. I'm not sure it's enough to save Dan Quinn's job, but the Falcons get it done with a 24-12 win over the Jaguars, a game which they led 14-0 before you could even blink. 518 total yards for the Falcons in that win yesterday. Julio, 10 for 166. Tampa Bay, as we mentioned, they lose to Houston on Saturday. That drops Tampa Bay to 7-8, but this was bad Jameis. There's just a turnover-filled game. The 6 turnovers between both teams in the first half. Jameis ends up with 4 picks and yet another pick 6. Jameis Winston has thrown 6 pick 6s on the season. 6. That's incredible. It also was his 11th career game with at least 3 interceptions. So he's slowly working on a full season of games in his career with 3 picks or more. Even though they outgained Houston 435 to 229, including a 106-68 edge on the ground, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter in the end when you're -3 in turnovers. I'll just say it's a pick'em. I mean, I have no idea what to make this. It's Atlanta and Tampa Bay. Neither has anything to play for. So flip a coin. Pick'em.
Perfect, because I see both teams favored by 1, and
perfect.
I see pick'em.
That's what it should be.
And did you ever see a player in the NFL? I've seen some in basketball. Ever see a player that keeps both sides in the game as good as Jameis Winston does?
Boy, no.
I mean, he had, 335 yards. That's, and I'm looking at his QBR. QBR was 46.1, which is like almost average. And it was a terrible performance. Like I said, QBR is a total mystery to me sometimes. You know, but I like looking at it. I don't know what they're thinking, but I like looking at it. Oh, my God. That was just awful. Just awful. I've never seen a guy keep both sides in the game like Jameis Winston. Never.
Week after week.
But pick 'em sounds good.
Yeah, the fantasy glory. For people who love to pick fantasy players, they gravitate towards Tampa Bay games because the total's always high. And he'll keep, like you said, he'll be a stat machine and he'll allow the other team to be that as well. Yes, Jeff.
2 interceptions away from the illustrious 30-30 for Jameis Winston, joining the ranks of Jose Canseco and Terry Bond.
I was going to say, nobody told him it was the wrong sport. all right, let's do one more in the 10 a.m. window here, real quick.
All right, we'll go to Buffalo. Jets at the Bills.
Jets at the Bills. God, I don't mean to be boring, but let me just tell you what my pick is already. It's another pick'em. It's another pick'em to me because, okay, the Jets beat your Steelers. They beat them 16-10. Sam Darnold, 16-26 for 183. One touchdown, no picks, 2 sacks. But again, this was a game that could have, Pittsburgh almost won at the end. There was a deep pass to James Washington on 3rd and 7 from the Jets 44. Marcus May made an unbelievable play on it on 3rd down. Then on 4th down, Hodges to Juju, goes incomplete, actually hit off his hands. And so a stadium that was really filled with Steelers fans at MetLife, Jets beat the Steelers, but it doesn't matter for them. They're 6-9 playing out the string. And then Buffalo, they were valiant in their effort against the Patriots on Saturday. I had the Bills +6.5. Didn't work out. Patriots did Patriots things. Buffalo was only 2 of 11 on 3rd down in that game. Josh Allen, not particularly accurate when they needed him to be in that game, but no shame in Buffalo falling to 10-5. But here's the thing. Buffalo's locked into the number 5 seed in the AFC. Nothing they do in this game will change that. Nothing anybody else does will change that. So they're number 5. So it's a pick 'em because I don't know what else to make it. There's no motivation for the Bills here. They could sit everybody for all I know.
Yeah, I see. I see a couple picks, but I also see Buffalo one. I'm definitely going to open one because, you know, I know they got nothing to play for, but they're just such a better team. And if it wasn't for Jameis Winston, Sam Darnold would be the guy keeping both sides in the game as well as anybody I've ever seen. He didn't yesterday. He played, you know, fairly well. Didn't turn the ball over, which he's been a turnover machine. If he ever gets strained out, he really has a lot of talent. But I've been saying the same thing about Jameis for the last couple of years too. Anyway, I like Buffalo one. You're right; they got nothing to play for, but they'll still show up, I think, especially at home. So I that number looks a little cheap to me, but I'm going to open one just because I do see some pick-ems around.
Yeah, well, we had a couple pick-ems there. That was a fabulous opening segment. just throwing out numbers.
Yeah. Riveting.
We'll get back to it, but we'll go through all the implications because all of these do matter. We'll review some of the ridiculous coaching decisions that were made yesterday. We already talked about Freddie Kitchens at the end of the first half in that Browns game. Some of these teams are just so unreliable, and I'm so happy to see their seasons end next week. Chargers, I'm talking about you. We'll talk about the Chargers.
Oh.
And again, because while everybody's focusing on other decisions, the teams that actually have had playoff implications, the Chargers might be the worst of all of them. We'll get to that. We'll get to more. It's all brought to you by the BetMGM app. As a numbers game always is, by the way, it's the holiday season. New Jersey's winter wonderland for sports over there on the BetMGM app. And got an offer here on Christmas Day. If you use bonus code VSIN200 on Christmas Day, place a $1 pregame moneyline bet on any NBA game on Christmas Day. You'll win $200 in free bets if any team hits a three-point shot in any game being played throughout the day. How about that? Just got any team on Christmas Day hits a three-pointer, 100-1 odds, $200 coming your way. First-time BetMGM bettors, that's who that applies to. 200-1 odds on any NBA team making a three-point shot on Christmas Day when you use bonus code VSIN200. Make the holiday even more fun. Turn your predictions into convictions with real money bets on parlays, boosted odds specials, in-game live betting, and more. Just download the BetMGM app or visit BetMGM.com today and get 200-1 odds on any NBA team hitting a three on Christmas Day with bonus code VSIN200. Got to be 21 or older. Must be in New Jersey. Restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for the full list of terms and conditions. Coming back, more guessing lines, guessing in quotes, on a numbers game on the way right here on VSiN.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Only a handful of games into the college football bowl season, maybe a little more than one hand. You could still get stats, trends, and analysis for all 40 bowl games in VSiN's College Bowl Guide, 90-page digital magazine ready right now for download. 10 VSiN experts, all challenged to give their 10 best bets, sides, or totals across the entire bowl menu, including Mr. Parlay. He's in there as well. Brent Musburger and Point Spread Weekly editor Steve Mackinnon go head-to-head for the third year in a row with the challenge of taking a position on every single side and total for every game. It's $14.99, the bowl guide is, that is. And you can order your copy at VSiN.com/subscribe. Remember, VSiN All Access subscribers get a special issue as part of their paid subscription. So now's a good time to check out our All Access packages, including a free trial at VSiN.com/subscribe. Four games into Week 17 of the National Football League. Two already pick'em guesses. Motivations just all over the place. Implications and playoff scenarios all over the place as well. Jeff, let's get to another early window game.
All right, guys, let's go. New Orleans at Carolina.
New Orleans at Carolina. Will Greer making his debut yesterday for the Carolina Panthers. They lose their seventh straight to Indianapolis this time. Greer was 27-44 for 224. No touchdowns, three picks. He was sacked five times. Choppy, if you will. Christian McCaffrey continues to just fill the stat sheet. 13 carries for 54 yards. 15 catches on 15 targets for 119. But, of course, the Panthers were -3 in turnovers. All three being Greer picks. And that was that for Carolina as they lose to Indianapolis 38-6 as seven-point dogs. Also gave up two punt returns for touchdowns to Nyheim Hines. So, New Orleans, here's the deal. They beat, as we already mentioned, they beat Tennessee yesterday, came back from a 14-0 deficit. They beat Tennessee 38-28, and they end up covering the three-point spread there, or the 3.5, depending on what it closed at for you. So New Orleans is 12-3. New Orleans would clinch a first-round bye in this game against Carolina with a win and one Green Bay loss, either tonight for Green Bay or next week against Detroit. They would clinch home field advantage throughout the playoffs, would New Orleans, with a win here against Carolina, one Green Bay loss, doesn't matter which game, and a San Francisco loss to Seattle next week on Sunday night. So New Orleans still has everything to play for, but it's at Carolina. And I'm going to say it's just shy of two touchdowns. I said either 13 and a half or 13. So I'll just say 13 here.
It's a pretty solid 13. Ooh. I see 112 and a half. And then I see a 14 with a bunch of juice on the dog. Yeah, I think 13 is okay. A little light, if anything, but Carolina was just awful yesterday, weren't they, Gil? Greer, QBR of 8.9. And like I said, I dispute QBR quite a bit. Not in that case.
8.9. Terrible. Yeah.
Yeah, just awful. And McCaffrey, you know, boy, you know, pardon me, my heart breaks for this kid. You know what I mean? You just, they're using him up like crazy, but I mean, they don't have any other weapons. We have 13 carries and 15 receptions, and that's an awful lot for a running back. And man, oh man, I got to kill this kid. But I think 13, if anything, I like a little bit higher, but again, I don't like to mess around too much, certainly not in this week. So I'm going to open 13, see where it goes. But if it trends higher, I'm going to go higher. I think New Orleans, with things to play for, and they're just that much better than Carolina at this point, I think this has all the markings of a blowout.
I'm proud of that guess. Yeah, it's 13 or higher for me. 13 and a half, I almost went with. McCaffrey, no signs of them sitting him. You're right. Just risk injury, doesn't matter. Except for a contract, too. It's the weirdest thing with McCaffrey just playing as much as he is. By the way, Mike Thomas, of course, yesterday, 12 catches for 136.
Yeah.
145 receptions, setting the NFL single-season record, breaking Marvin Harrison's old record set back in the early 2000s. Okay, so New Orleans, as we mentioned, first round bye with a win against Carolina and one Green Bay loss. They clinch home field advantage with a win against Carolina, one Green Bay loss, and a San Francisco loss to Seattle. What's next, Jeff?
The Green Bay Packers at the Detroit Lions.
All right. So again, they've legislated correlated parlays out. So these are all these games that affect each other are in the same window. So Green Bay at Detroit. Green Bay, as we know, they've already clinched a playoff berth. They did so last week. They can still win the NFC North with a win tonight at Minnesota. And by the way, Green Bay is 5-point dogs at the Vikings tonight. Packers are in good shape regardless. Even if they lose to the Vikings tonight, they can clinch the division by beating the Lions next week in this game. So, again, Packers, it's on their racket in terms of the NFC North. As far as Detroit, they've lost their eighth straight. Eight in a row now for Detroit. They looked pretty good against Denver early, and then they lose late to Denver, 27-17. Blau, 12 of 24. 12 completions for 117 yards. 191 total yards of offense for the Lions yesterday. Again, eight straight. Matt Patricia's coming back. I'll say Green Bay minus 10 on the road.
Yeah, I see 9.5 and 10. And I think I'm going to go with 10. I mean, that was a bad game for us, the Detroit game I'm talking about yesterday. You know, a lot of late money on Denver. And, boy, I thought we were in pretty good shape throughout much of the game. I thought Detroit had a great chance of covering. I mean, it's just, it's a lot of points for to get against a Denver team, and they only put up 27, but that was enough. And but Detroit really looks like it's gone south. Matt Patricia coming back. I guess you got to give him another year. Boy, I don't know. But it tells you why Detroit has been really a moribund franchise for pretty much my entire existence. So, you know, anyway, I think I'm going to go with 10, but there is both numbers around, but I think 10 is okay.
Yeah, right now Detroit would get the third pick in the draft in April. Third worst record of the National Football League. Jeff, one more early. Chicago at Minnesota, as we were talking about. Mitch Trubisky last night, 18 of 34 for 157. No touchdowns, no picks. They flashed up a graphic yesterday. This is what I'll say about the Bears, because they were just rolled, as Al Michaels called it, a unanimous decision last night for the Chiefs. Or as Al Michaels said, a unanimous decision. That's how he said it. But they flashed up a graphic. I'm sorry. They flashed up a graphic about Mitch Trubisky's season. And if you take passer rating, not QBR, but if you take passer rating, which is scored out of 158.3, league average is 91.1. So he started 13 games. Remember, those are the two he didn't. Nine of his games have been a sub-80 passer rating. Again, league average 91.1.
9 of them sub 80, including yesterday, which was 65.4. 4 of them, the other 4, over 115. So it's really feast or famine with Mitch Trubisky. And by the way, the famine far exceeds the feast. That's the Mitch Trubisky story, at least through the prism of passer rating. As far as Minnesota, they clinched the playoff berth with the Rams' loss to the Niners on Saturday. So Minnesota is in. They can still win the NFC North, can the Vikings, with 2 wins and a Green Bay loss to Detroit that we just talked about. Again, these are all in the same window, so no correlation allowed in betting. It's not like we'll know the result of one and then can affect the line dramatically of a second game. Those days are over. But Minnesota, they got the game against Green Bay tonight. I'll say, you know, sight unseen tonight, barring major injury. And, of course, remember, there's no Dalvin Cook tonight already for the Vikings. Who knows if he'll even play in Week 17. I'll say Minnesota by 7.5 against the Bears. Just throwing out a number.
Wow. I see like one number, but I'm not even sure it's I don't even think you can bet on it. It's 7.
It's, you know, right now,
I'm going to leave it off at this point. I mean, I hate doing that, but I think I don't have much choice. I talked to my guys this morning, and we all kind of agreed. Let's just leave it off at this point. 7's probably a decent number. By the way, and our friend Chris Felica texted us this morning with the Trubisky's QBR 5.4.
5.4.
I don't have a QBR for the year, but I'm sure it's bad. But I mean, Duck Hodges, if he's looking at these numbers, probably breathing a sigh of relief because he no longer has the worst QBR today. He goes to Mitch Trubisky. But boy, you know, say what you want about Mitch, and there's some talent there, and he could use some coaching. But on fourth and 23 or fourth and 26, when he throws the 3-yard pass.
Oh, you love that. Yeah.
There's a guy that just has no concept of the game. I mean, the game, just throw it up. I mean, you got to throw the ball down the field. And I can see where you throw, you know, an 18-yard pass and hope the receiver can make a play for the extra couple yards. Okay, that's forgivable. But you can't throw a 3-yard pass, for God's sake, and hope the guy picks up 23 on his own.
Yeah, Matt Nagy was doing weird things at the end of that game too, calling timeouts and extending the game for no particular reason. It was very odd last night.
Come on.
Yeah,
come on.
All right. So not putting up anything. Yeah,
I'm leaving it off.
I can't blame you. Can't blame you at all. Minnesota plays tonight again, hosting Green Bay, 5-point favorites with implications abounding. Minnesota again already in the playoffs, but they could still win the NFC North with 2 wins and a Green Bay loss to Detroit. However, sort of improbable that might be, they still have a shot at the division title. We'll come back. We'll do more. That was 3, right, Jeff? We're right on schedule here? Yes. Guessing lines, week 17, and I do mean guessing. We'll go through all the scenarios as well, team by team. Review yesterday right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Back on A Numbers Game, as the man said, I'm just going through Christmas songs here. I don't know what's my favorite of all time. Jeff, you ask? I know you asked this. Donny Hathaway this Christmas? I don't know. Temptation, Silent Night, Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You. Wham, Last Christmas. I don't know. There's so many. I love Christmas. I love Christmas songs. You?
Did I ask the question? You mentioned a few great ones there, though.
Dude.
You mentioned a few great ones.
New Edition, Christmas All Over the World. Just so many of them.
A lot of good ones.
That's all I'm doing the rest of the day. Christmas songs the rest of the day. All right, we got more football games to get to. Chrissy? Oh, no, Jeff, what's next? I'm sorry, we're 10 a.m. Got to rejigger these.
Two early games left. Gil will go to Foxborough for Miami at New England.
You know, the Dolphins have won 4 times in the last 8 games. How about that? Good for you, Brian Flores. As we mentioned with the Bengals and the Dolphins yesterday, and yes, Todd had it in game on the Dolphins -3.5. I don't mean to laugh. I want to hug Todd when this happens to him. The Bengals cut the deficit. They were down 23, 35-12. They cut the deficit to 35-27 with 29 seconds left on Dalton's touchdown pass, another 2-point conversion. So they scored 7, then they scored 8, then they go onside kick. They recover that. They reach the 25-yard line with 4 seconds left. And Miami drops 8 defenders back to the goal line. Tyler Eifert reaches above 2 of those 8 defenders in the end zone to catch Dalton's throw, and then Dalton runs in. When he couldn't find an open receiver, he runs in the 2-point conversion to tie it. Dolphins do end up winning in overtime. By the way, it was punt, 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 punt,
And then the Dolphins on the final drive, like, make one play, and they get the field goal in the closing seconds of overtime. But Ryan Fitzpatrick, 31 of 52, four touchdowns, one pick, two sacks, another four-touchdown game for Ryan Fitzpatrick. 502 yards of total offense for the Dolphins against 430 for the Bengals. Just another amazing outcome for bettors. Poor Todd with the end game. Then there's New England. New England beats Buffalo on Saturday. They clinch their 11th straight AFC East title. They will clinch a first-round bye with a win in this game or a Kansas City loss next week. That's the New England Patriots story. So as bad, in quotes, as relatively bad by Patriots standards this season was in terms of the tough nature of it, without the offensive linemen, with Brady not having weapons, with Tom Brady no longer being Tom Brady, here they are set up still for a first-round bye, and they're going to be huge favorites in this game. Brady, by the way, against the Bills, 32-3 straight up. Is that good? 32-3 straight up against the Bills. They had a 414-268 advantage in total yards versus Buffalo, and possessed the ball for almost 39 minutes of the 60-minute affair with Buffalo. I'll say New England by more than two touchdowns, though, here against the Dolphins. I'll say New England minus 14.5, Chrissy.
You're a tad light. I see. Oh, I do see 15.5. I also see 16.5. But 16 is the predominant number. I think that's okay. But I also think it might be a little bit high. You know, Miami has shown an awful lot of courage throughout this with, you know, very limited talent. Fitzpatrick, you know, when we write the requiem for his career, it's going to be very interesting on how we look at it, because, you know, he's made a ton of money. He had some great numbers for some bad teams. But this New England team reminds me very much of the Denver team that won the Super Bowl with Peyton Manning on his last legs. They had a great defense. Peyton was a shell of himself, and they managed to win the Super Bowl. I got to say, Tom Brady is much better than Peyton was that last year. He's still pretty good. Remember, I think that was his best game of the year the other day. Does that mean anything? I'm not sure. But it was his best game of the year. So I'm going to open 16 again. I'm going to be very conservative this week. I don't want to take too many chances. And to backspace for a minute, my quinella for the two best Christmas songs, Andy Williams, The Most Wonderful Time of the Year.
Yeah.
And Tony Bennett, My Favorite Things. And I'm not even sure why that's a Christmas song, but it is.
Yeah, no, you're right. It is for some reason.
My two all-time favorites.
My Favorite Things, a classic. No question about it. Yeah, mine skewed a little 90s R&B-ish and a little 80s. I understand. But different eras. But
I'm showing my age.
But that's the beauty. That's the beauty of Christmas songs.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Jeff is going to give me some hip-hop Christmas jam from 2000.
Oh, no. No one's mentioned Silver Bells, which is great.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Some great ones.
Tom Brady, by the way, 26 of 33 for 271, one touchdown, no picks in that game. And New England, again, they can't get the number one seed because Baltimore clinched that. But, again, they can get a bye with a win or a KC loss. That's the other theme of this season. Again, this is such a weird NFL season, just not only from a betting perspective, but I mentioned that thing about the Dolphins, eight guys back, and somehow Cincinnati was still able to score. How about at the end of the first half of your Jets-Steelers game? Jeff, the Jets are winning 10-3. At that time it was Duck Hodges who had the ball. It was Mason Rudolph by then. So Hodges had been benched. It was Mason Rudolph. And the Jets, instead of just playing back, decide to blitz Rudolph on third down, or whatever it was, on one down, and they go into man coverage with the blitz, and he almost gets a touchdown pass. And the Jets are like, well, you know, that didn't go as poorly as we thought. Let's do it again. And they do the same thing. They, like, blitz him, and they get touchdown pass over the top. Like, what are you doing? There's so many examples of that this year. The most egregious, remember that, the famous Pittsburgh-Miami game with the worst guess of all time on guessing lines in guessing lines history, the end of that first half, right, when the Steelers just played this bizarro D against the other way around. Dolphins playing the bizarro
the
D against
blitzed
the Steelers.
On 3rd and 20, and it turned into a 60-yard touchdown.
The Steelers do Jedi mind tricks against their opponents at the end of first halves. It's the weirdest thing. Anyway, there's littered. This NFL season is littered with that example. Let's do one more, Jeff.
Oh, I know you'll love this one, Gil. The Los Angeles Chargers of nowhere at the Kansas City Chiefs.
All right, we got to talk about the Chargers for one last second this year. Because I know this game meant nothing. They lose to the Raiders yesterday, do the Chargers. They lose 24-17 as 7-point favorites. Phillip Rivers, you look at his stat sheet, is 27 of 39 for 279. Just don't even worry about it. It does not, it's not, doesn't indicate how bad the Chargers were. End of the first half, the Chargers are down 7-0. It's north of the 2-minute warning. So it's more than 2 minutes left. Instead of milking it to the 2 minute, they're already in the red zone. Instead of milking it to the 2 minute warning and then taking plays on the south side, if you will, with less than 2 minutes left, to ensure that even if they do score, the Raiders will have as little time as possible, the Phillip Rivers rushes to do a play before the 2 minute warning, and the Chargers do end up scoring right after the 2 minute warning because there was a flag in the end zone. Anyway, the Raiders get the ball back with like 150 something left in the half. And so the announcers are all over that, and they're very proud of themselves for pointing this out. But then the announcers mention nothing when the Chargers do something far more egregious. It's 4th-and-2 for the Raiders at the Chargers 42 with 103 left in the half. And the Chargers, if they don't use a timeout there, it's the standoff where neither team uses a timeout, the clock will run down, and the Raiders will punt. But instead, the Chargers, in their infinite wisdom, oh, we got to call a timeout here. We want to get that ball back. And the announcers even commend them for it. Absolutely wrong thing to do. 4th-and-2 at the Chargers 42. Of course they get it. They stop the clock for the Raiders. Of course the Raiders get it. They matriculate. It's 14-7 at the half. They do that thing where they get the ball back first. The Raiders do at the beginning of the second half. That was the entire game. Anthony Lynn and staff, I have no idea what they're doing from week to week. And by the way, the difference between Phillip Rivers and Tom Brady, besides everything, could be seen this weekend. Tom Brady makes a huge block on a play. Phillip Rivers decides to punt on a block. He could have sprung Austin Eckler for a 15-yard pickup on a run. Instead, he makes a business decision, decides not to block, and then feigns a thumb injury. That guy's a Hall of Famer. By the way, Phillip Rivers, after the game, I still feel like I can contribute at this level. Well, what level is that? The level where you're not even blocking? Anyway, Chiefs will be 10-point favorites.
Man, I like your number way better.
What's the number?
It's 7.5.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know.
Why would that only be 7.5? Give me the Chiefs. That's the first one I love.
I'm with you. I like the Chiefs, too. By the way, let's back up a couple seconds here. Who were the announcers in that game?
Was it Gannon? Was Rich Gannon one of them? No, who was it, Jeff? Do you remember?
I want to say it was Gumbel and Green. I think it was that. I'll double-check that.
Okay.
Though. Okay. Jeez. Oh, man. That's, what the hell?
Oh.
And, yeah, I'm with you. Hall of Famer, Phillip Rivers. I mean, we tend to, compare him with Eli Manning. It's strictly personal for me. I like Eli just because he beat the Patriots twice, but he probably doesn't, quote unquote, deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. There's no way Phillip Rivers deserves to be in the Hall of Fame either. Forget about it. It's crazy. But boy, I love the way this Kansas City team's playing right now.
Yeah.
And I know Baltimore is going to be a tough out. New England's going to be a tough out. There's always a surprise or two in the playoffs. I get that. But right now, is anybody playing better than Kansas City?
I'm saying.
I don't know. Their defense has come alive. They've had the talent on defense, but, they really haven't gelled, but they kind of have now. Listen, they don't get a home field. If they don't get a bye the first round, obviously that makes it a lot tougher because they get an extra game. They don't get the rest. Is there anybody playing better in Kansas City right now?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've said it to Lombardi for weeks now. Sneaky team from the back. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the hour here. Guessing lines for week 17 on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
We were saying before the show that Cincinnati-Miami ending, it was those who had Cincinnati pre-flop, it was that typical thing where they're like, well, if we score here and then we make a stop and then we get the ball back and then we score and we get two, then we recover the onside kick and then we score and then we get another two. That's a tie game right there. And it happened. And it actually happened. And they still lost. That was just phenomenal. Oh, my God. Todd still had Miami money. 3.5. Last thing about Kansas City against the Chargers. Kansas City, twice as many yards as the Bears last night at halftime, 203-93, 6-for-11 on third downs. I mean, that game was over at the half. Chiefs have outscored Denver and Chicago now by a combined 49-6.
the past 2 weeks. They are the sneaky team. So Chris, just real quick in 10 seconds, just to clarify, I guessed 10, but you're putting it up at what?
I think I'm going to use 8.
8.
But it's 7.5 everywhere, but I'm going to use 8.
And you like my number better. How is that only?
I like your number better.
Jeez, the Chargers. They are already on vacation. They are already on vacation, the Chargers. That was just pathetic yesterday. And it was Greg Gumbel and Trent Green who were busy congratulating themselves for making the point about doing stuff on the wrong side of the two-minute warning, but completely didn't say anything about the Chargers taking that egregious timeout, which basically ended up resulting in the 14-7, then 21-7 lead thereafter for the Raiders. Coming back, we'll continue guessing lines and a story time on the way never told before.
Support for today's podcast, as always, comes from the good people over at bookmaker.eu, an industry leader for close to 30 years now. And just because it's the holidays doesn't mean they're off their game. In fact, just as strong as ever with their three basic tenets, the Holy Trinity, if you will. They're first to post odds, they take the highest limits, and they pride themselves on never having kicked out a winning player. So big in today's bookmaking global landscape. Their motto, as always, is where the lines originate, because chances are the sportsbook at which you've been playing and are playing at right now follows their lines anyway. Bookmaker, high-volume sportsbook best suited for the sophisticated player who understands sports betting but also caters to large recreational players. Perhaps that describes you. And right now, if you visit bookmaker.eu/gill, you can claim an exclusive 100% welcome bonus of up to $300. Once again, that's bookmaker.eu/gill to join and claim your welcome bonus of up to $300 right now. Again, first to post odds, say it with me, take the highest limits, and pride themselves on never having kicked out a winning player. What a glorious thing not to have to worry about. Quick payouts as well. Bookmaker.eu/gill.
It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Always interesting. Week 17 in the National Football League. Guessing lines. Squirrely week is what it is. It's Gil Alexander, producer number 5. Jeff Parlay is here, as is Chrissy Andrews. Guessing lines with us. Merry Christmas, everybody. Or whatever it is that you're celebrating. Happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, happy holidays to all this time of year. Let's continue. So now, Jeff, we already are in the afternoon games, yes?
We're now there. To open the show, the Titans and the Texans, the one that we already did, that is a 425 East, 125 Pacific start.
Okay.
That is the one, really, that is the one that means the most of all, if the Titans win.
And again, what we have noted is that they have legislated correlated parlays out. So the big thing with Week 17 used to be, oh, wow, this game's at 1 o'clock, this game's at 4 o'clock, using the Eastern time zone times. Based on the result of that 1 o'clock game, we could actually have an edge in the 4 o'clock game because that game all of a sudden renders meaningless or renders meaningful. There's an edge there. Well, that doesn't happen anymore. So Tennessee-Houston is now in this new window. We've already talked about that, 4 o'clock. And so The related game, Pittsburgh, is also in this window, for instance, much like Philly and Dallas are in this window together, not at different times, but instead concurrent. What's the next game?
Well, we'll start it with what you just mentioned, the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Baltimore Ravens.
All right, let's do that. Baltimore, first round bye throughout the AFC playoffs. That's what Baltimore earned yesterday with their win. First time ever that franchise has ever done that. Baltimore's win over Cleveland. It's their 11th win in a row. Lamar Jackson, 20 of 31 for 238, 3 touchdowns, no picks, never sacked, 17 carries for 103. Is that good? 36 touchdown passes on the year with just 6 picks for Lamar Jackson. Just don't get hurt, man. Just stay healthy. It's all Baltimore Ravens fans want. And the real issue with the Ravens, 481 total yards yesterday, 7 of 11 on third downs. Mark Andrews was Lamar's favorite target, 6 catches, 93, 2 touchdowns. But Mark Ingram goes down yesterday. Without being touched in the fourth quarter, he immediately grabbed his lower left leg, collapsed when he tried to stand. Undergoing testing today, John Harbaugh saying he doesn't believe it to be serious. But they will go through testing today with Ingram. Baltimore, therefore, ergo, has nothing to play for in this game. They can sit everybody if they want. They probably should. Pittsburgh, on the other hand, different story. They entered yesterday's game against the Jets, which we already mentioned. The Jets won 16-10 despite their best efforts to botch it. The Jets
beat the Steelers. And so Steelers entered that game with their playoff destiny in their own hands. Now, with that loss, no longer the case. Now, for the Steelers to clinch a playoff berth, they got to win this game against Baltimore. Again, Baltimore may not play anybody, but RG3 is somebody. Don't you ever forget it. And then Tennessee would have to lose. So clinch playoff berth for Pittsburgh. They'd have to win this game against Baltimore, and then Tennessee would have to lose. Or, other scenario, Tennessee and Oakland would, a Tennessee and Oakland loss and an Indy win if Pittsburgh loses this. Is that correct? I think that, well, I don't know. So there's another scenario. So the most easy scenario for Pittsburgh to get is a win and a Tennessee loss. But if they lose and Tennessee and Oakland lose and Indy wins, I think that's the backdoor way for Pittsburgh to get in. So there is one scenario where they could lose and still get in. But again, the easier way is just a win and a Tennessee loss. Pittsburgh, they started Devlin Hodges yesterday. He got benched. Mason Rudolph came in, and Mason Rudolph got hurt. Duck Hodges had to come back in the game. Five punts, one turnover on downs on 6 second-half possessions for the Steelers yesterday. By the way, James Conner, Marquise Pouncey, in addition to Rudolph, all leaving the game with injuries. All three will be evaluated, and their availability for this game against the Ravens is uncertain. So you put all that in the mix. Steelers players that might not play. Ravens got nothing to play for. Chrissy, it's a pick 'em, right? Can't be anything else.
Oh, I see Baltimore 1 and 1.5.
Oh, man. I guess.
I kind of like the 1.5 better. We're probably talking about insignificant numbers here as far as, you know, determining the winner. But Pittsburgh just has so many injuries. And, one of the guys, who was it? Oh, I can't think. One of the ESPN guys tweeted out yesterday, how has Pittsburgh won 8 games this year?
It's amazing.
Kind of quarterback play.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. You know, besides the quarterback play, just everything else, they've had a million injuries. Defense is great, though. I mean, what can you say about their defense? They didn't let them down yesterday. It was really the offense was just terrible. I'm going to go with 1.5. I just think there's enough. You know, yeah, I know Baltimore has nothing to play for, but yeah, this is a pretty big rivalry. There's a lot of hatred between these two teams, and I think Baltimore will show up. And I'm not sure who's going to be a quarterback. If Lamar Jackson ran the ball one time, I'd yank him out of the game.
Yeah, I don't think he plays.
I don't know if he's going to play or not. Ingram, I think, doubtful at this point. Anyway, I'd have to go with 1.5. I just think they have enough to probably beat Pittsburgh in this spot, regardless of who plays, who doesn't play.
All right. Again, Pittsburgh, a win and Tennessee loss, they're in. Or if they lose, but Tennessee and Oakland also lose and Indy wins, Pittsburgh finds their way in. So there's a couple ways for them to get in. All right, next one, Jeffrey.
The Indianapolis Colts at the Jacksonville Jaguars.
As I mentioned, the Colts can't make the playoffs, but their result of this game against Jacksonville matters a lot to a lot of other teams, or potentially could. Colts, as we mentioned, crushed Carolina yesterday, 38-6 as 7-point favorites. They're going with Jacoby Brissett moving forward because he's under contract for one more year, but also stated that they're going to address the quarterback position at the same time. So it's a very lukewarm endorsement of Brissett moving forward. Indy was +3 in turnovers in that game. But as I mentioned, Nyheim Hines, 3 punt returns for 195 yards, including 2 touchdowns. By the way, his third one set up a third touchdown with another long return 4 plays into the game. And Jacksonville, well, they're just playing out the string. They got beat yesterday 24-12. 7 straight games now for the Jaguars with 20 points or fewer. 7 straight games with 20 points or fewer. The Jags have lost 6 of 7 and 20 games of 27. They've lost 20 of 27, Chris, since they started 3-1 at the beginning of the 2018 season, which you remember came right after they got all the way to the AFC Championship.
Yeah.
And that was it. 3-1 after that, and they can't win football games since. I'll say Indy -4 on the road, I guess.
Yeah, I see 3.5. I see 1-4, but from Bookmaker, an outfit I respect highly.
Makes sense.
I'm open 3.5. Again, trying to be really conservative this week, but we used the joke for years. You got your wise guy card taken away from you. You know, like Jacksonville every single week. And, boy, they've really, really gone south. But you're talking about the Colts. We mentioned QBR a couple of times. Here's one for Brissett. His passer rating, 63.7, so pretty bad. QBR, 89.4. These are just a mystery to me. You know, I don't know where they come up with these numbers, you know, but...
we got to get Paul Carr to explain it to us. Yeah, Paul Carr will explain
it. I don't know where they come up with these numbers. Anyway, I think 3.5 is okay. I mean, Jacksonville, maybe they show up at home the last game. I don't know. You know, so anyway, 3.5 is what I'm hoping.
Okay. By the way, I buried the headline. Chrissy's got a new story time coming up on the show. Has never been told. Is that right, Chris?
Yeah, I didn't know how this week was going to go with guessing the lines. So I kind of rehearsed one. I like to do them in my head beforehand just so I get them straight. And I have one queued up in case we have time at the end.
Oh, we'll have time. I made sure once I heard there was going to be a story time, I sped things up. All right, Jeff, what's next?
Raiders at Broncos.
Raiders at Broncos. Raiders, here's the thing with the Raiders. They're 7-8, and somehow there is a scenario where they can make the playoffs. So after losses by Pittsburgh, Tennessee, and Cleveland yesterday, and an Oakland win, they're still alive. Here's how the Oakland Raiders can make the playoffs at 8-8. First, of course, they'd have to win against Denver here to go 8-8. Then, again, Indy would have to win. The Colts, who aren't playing for anything, they can't get in themselves. But for the Raiders to get in, they've got to get the Colts to get to 8-8 also. Then, on top of that, they need losses by Tennessee and Pittsburgh, which would bring Tennessee and Pittsburgh back down to 8-8. And then Oakland would win on something called strength of victory versus Pittsburgh. Not strength of schedule anymore, Jeffrey. Strength of victory versus Pittsburgh. So four things must happen, and then Oakland clinches based on that. Good luck to you, Oakland Raiders. There's a chance. So you're saying there's a chance. By the way, that would create a four-way tie. Oakland would win the tiebreaker, again, based on strength of victory. Indianapolis, by virtue of its win in week four. The Colts would essentially eliminate Tennessee in that scenario by having a better division record. So it would just all fall Oakland's way, who did get Hunter Renfro back in the fold yesterday, and he's key for them. 7 catches for 107 for Renfro and a touchdown. Hunter Renfro was saying that was his first 100 receiving yard game in his life. Never at Clemson, never in high school yesterday. Raiders were 7-14 on third downs. And as I mentioned when I was talking about the Chargers, Anthony Lynn and the Chargers and Phillip Rivers did everything possible to give this game to the Raiders. Denver beat Detroit. We mentioned that. Drew Locke, 25-33 for 192. You know that whole talk about John Elway only got Peyton Manning and hasn't been able to pick a quarterback? Well, Drew Locke is 3-1 as the Broncos starter. I'm not saying I love him, but so far so good. The only game he lost was that snow game in KC. Lindsey, 19 for 109 and a touchdown for the Broncos yesterday. All that said, I think the Broncos will be favored, and I think it'll be more than a field goal. I'll say 3.5 for the Broncos.
Yo, you're dead on.
Yes.
Good. 3.5. Sounds good. But, I mentioned it before. Listen, when you're in this bracket, you make a lot of mistakes. God knows, you're booking every game on the board in every sport. I'm really kicking myself in the butt for how I handled that Chargers-Oakland game yesterday. I let them come back with way too much on the Oakland money line. But kind of fell asleep at the wheel. Anyway, this is a terrible game. I don't know. This is, again, a game where Denver has nothing to play for, but they really hate, there's a lot of rivalry here going back all the way to the AFL days, so Denver certainly be up for this game, and Drew Locke's playing some pretty good football. We'll see what happens, but Oakland wound up, they've had some deep troughs and some very good games, and been highly, highly inconsistent, as you could say probably about most of the NFL. But we'll see. We'll see what happens in this game. I'm going to go with 3.5, though. See what they want to do with that.
You know what the temperature was at game time in Denver yesterday? 67 degrees. 67 degrees in Denver yesterday.
Yeah.
December 22nd, 2019, 67 degrees. We'll see.
Warmer than it was in Las Vegas.
Yeah, it really was. So far, then, Kansas City is the one I like the most, right? I had Kansas City -10, and it's only 7.5, which I still don't get. Let's do one more here for the break.
Completely meaningless game at the Coliseum, the Cardinals at the Rams.
And we don't know if Kyler Murray's going to play either now. Kyler Murray.
No number. Yeah. No number.
Oh, no number?
No, okay. Because of Kyler Murray. No.
All right. Because he left the game yesterday. Arizona's huge win over Seattle. Not for Arizona, but in terms of the implications it had for Seattle to their detriment, which we'll get to momentarily after the break. But Kyler Murray left in the third quarter, injured his hamstring, never returned. He was 11 of 18 for 118. Brett Hundley came in for him. Kenyon Drake, 24 for 166 and two touchdowns for the Cardinals. What do they do with David Johnson in Arizona after this guy is doing what he's doing?
Yeah.
See ya, kind of thing. And the Rams, they lost to the Niners. Really good game on Saturday, but that eliminated the Rams. The defending NFC West champion Rams, who got all the way to the Super Bowl and lost to the Patriots 13-3 in the Super Bowl. They're 8-7. They are donezo. And let me just say this about this, because Jared Goff's stats were great, 323 yards passing, and Woods emerged as his best receiver all year, 8 for 117 in that game. Tyler Higbee, in Everett's absence, has been great, 9 for 104. But Todd Gurley, could this be his last game for the Rams? Because already, by the way, he was 15 for 48, two touchdowns in that game against the Niners. I've said it many times on this show. The Todd Gurley thing has never been truly explained properly. Does he have an arthritic knee or does he not? Why was he not playing suddenly in the playoffs last year? Why is he suddenly playing now? What's going on? And they are talking in L.A. like he will be a cap casualty in Los Angeles. So because we don't know about Kyler Murray, the Rams have nothing to play for. Neither team does. I would imagine the Rams will be, you know, fairly sized favorites in this. But again, it doesn't. We don't know if it's Murray or Hundley, so you can't really make a number. That would make a big difference.
Yeah, I saw some sevens, you know, prior to yesterday, and I guess that's okay. But, you know, well, again, Murray just means so much. I mean, Hundley. I know Hundley actually played well yesterday. But, you know, playing well in a substituted role versus preparing all week to play is totally different.
So, it
obviously makes a huge difference.
Yeah, if it's Murray, it's seven. But if it's Hundley, it's got to be higher than that, right?
It's got to be 10, I would say. Yeah. I would think. Yeah.
Okay. Three more games to get to, Jeff? All right. We'll do two more afternoon games. I know Philly and Dallas have to be those. And then, of course, the flex game, which is San Francisco and Seattle, which control so much of what's going to happen in the NFC playoff picture. We'll get to those and story time, a never-before-told story time coming up right here on A Numbers Game. It's all brought to you by the BetMGM app. And Christmas Day, of course, traditionally a big NBA day, no different this year. And MGM's got a big promotion for you. Use bonus code VSIN200. To place a $1 pregame moneyline bet on any NBA game on Christmas Day, and you'll win $200 in free bets if any team hits a three-point shot in any game being played throughout the day. It's that simple. It's for first-time BetMGM bettors. 200-1 odds on any NBA team making a three-pointer on Christmas Day when you use bonus code VSIN200. It's all on Christmas Day, whether it's parlays, boosted odds specials, in-game live betting, or more. All of that available on the BetMGM app. Just download the app or visit BetMGM.com today. Get 200-1 odds on any NBA team hitting a three-pointer on Christmas Day with bonus code VSIN200. Must be 21 or older. Got to be in New Jersey. Restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for the full list of terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's the BetMGM app with bonus code VSIN200 Christmas Day. Coming back, more guessing lines and story time on A Numbers Game. Guessing lines right here at VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
You know, George Michael wrote Last Christmas when he was like a teenager. He was like holding on to it for years. Like, when I become a big star, I'm going to just throw this on a B-side or something. Last Christmas is the largest, Last Christmas by Wham. He was still with Andrew Ridgeley at the time. It's the largest selling record of all time that didn't get to number one. It only got to number two because that other big Christmas song at the time was number one. What was the big Christmas song back then in the 90s at the same time? Oh, come up in my head. But Last Christmas by Wham got to number two. And so it was always shut out for number one. But the largest selling record of all time that never got to number one. And then Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You, which came out in 94, finally got to number one this year. So Christmas songs with legs, even modern day ones, not just the classics from yesteryear. That's your moment in Christmas songs history right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN. And Merry Christmas to all. Happy holidays. Beautiful time of year. Everybody's nice to each other. Who doesn't love Christmas, Jeff? Who? Is there a Scrooge amongst us? JT in the corner? What's wrong with you, JT? What's wrong with that guy? All right, we'll have to talk after the show. Three more games to get to, and then story time. Two more afternoon games, and it all is about the NFC East. What you got, Jeff?
There we go. It didn't look good for Dwayne Haskins leaving yesterday, so who knows who's playing quarterback for Washington at Dallas?
Well, let's start with the Redskins, and the Washington Redskins win, in quotes, quote, unquote, win the Chase Young Bowl yesterday by eventually losing to the New York Giants in overtime, 41-35. The Giants were just a tick of a favorite in that ball game. Case Keenum tried his best not to give the Redskins Chase Young. So with the Redskins' loss, essentially, gives them, puts them in the driver's seat, if you will, for the number two pick in the draft. If you assumed Ohio, if you assume Ohio-born Joe Burrow is going to go to Cincinnati, who already was benching Andy Dalton for much of this year to figure out what they had behind him. So if they go Joe Burrow with Ohio-born Joe Burrow, the Redskins going to go Chase Young with the D.C. kid who went to DeMatha High School. So you have some regional players going to the teams of their youth. I don't know if Cincinnati was Joe Burrow's team of the youth, but still the same state. So Case Keenum yesterday comes in for Dwayne Haskins. He was 16 of 22 for 158, including rushing in for the tying score with 29 seconds left after leading the Redskins on a 99-yard drive. As soon as Keenum got in the game, I was like, oh, no. There goes Chase Young. But it did work out. Dwayne Haskins, by the way, 12 of 15 for 133, two touchdowns, no picks. Redskins got to be a little bit encouraged by Dwayne Haskins down the stretch. Interesting thing about that game, for those who are like, think I overdo the Daniel Snyder thing, as a guy who grew up a Redskin fan, who there was nothing more important to me as a kid than the Washington Redskins. And then as an adult, I've got this horrific owner that is a life sentence to deal with. And one of the things I said is Daniel Snyder just wants to be boys. He wants to be buddies with the players, right? He wanted to be RG3's friend desperately. He wanted to be Clinton Portis's friend desperately. Well, you know what Dwayne Haskins said after that game? He said Daniel Snyder encouraged him to listen to medical advice and not go back in the game. Quote, I tried to go back in, but he wouldn't let me, Haskins said yesterday. So Daniel Snyder said, you're not going back in the game. Don't. Please don't, my buddy, my boy, my friend. Terry McLaurin got hurt late, 7 catches for 86. Not sure what his status will be in this game. Bill Callahan, though, deciding not to go for two after that Keenum touchdown, which for those of us who wanted Chase Young or a shot at Chase Young again, Redskins would still have to lose this game at Dallas. But I was thrilled when he decided to kick the game-tying extra point and not go for two, because I was like, oh, you're going to ruin this. Extra point? Wonderful. So that was fun. Dallas, though, is a whole nother story, everybody. Dallas goes into Philly yesterday and gets beat by a skeletal version of the Philadelphia Eagles. Dallas still can win the NFC East. And by the way, let me just say this, Jeffrey. You may disagree with me. I actually think they still could win this, Dallas. I really do. Because we're going to get to the Philly game. They're playing the Giants. I think the Giants are live in that game. But Dallas, they get beat. Dak Prescott was 25 of 44. He wasn't particularly good. Zeke was held to 47 yards. Amari Cooper had 4 catches. All these guys, like, just nothing. Philadelphia's defense absolutely dominated them. They were out time of possession, if you will, were the Cowboys, 36-53 to 23-07. And Jason Garrett, excuse me, the shots of Jason Garrett, I'm not sure he was alive on the sidelines. This is Jason Garrett after the game. Quote, we all have to own it. Unfortunately, we don't control our destiny anymore, but we control our opportunity next week at Washington. Spoken like a man who might not have a pulse. Dallas by 9.5, Chris.
Yeah, you're a little light. I think 10.5 and 11. I'm going to go with the 10.5. I think Dallas, you know, geez, they do everything wrong. I mean, you know, just some teams do a lot of things right. I'm looking like at the Buffalo Bills, you know, teams like that. You know, the New England, we all know that. But Dallas does everything wrong. They have all the right pieces and just can't put it together properly. And it starts with the head coach. It starts with the owner. It really does. It starts with the owner. He's going to want a coach. I know he wants a, you know, a headline coach, but I mean, who's going to come in there and, you know, play second fiddle to Jerry Jones? I mean, they're talking about, you know, Urban Meyer, maybe. Lincoln Riley. I mean, these guys would be nuts to go to Dallas.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's kind of what you got. Anyway, I'm going to go with 10.5. I mean, I'm sure they'll probably beat them. They'll probably win by a million. But, that defense is so bad. Holy cow, they're terrible.
I make it 9.5, though, as a Case Keenum discount. If Case Keenum plays, I think it should be less than 10. That would be my only thing. Not that I'm rushing to bet it, but that's where the discount is. Philly's next, Jeff?
Philadelphia at the Giants.
Giants beat the Redskins. Philadelphia, as we mentioned, just beat Dallas. So Philadelphia wins the East if they win this game against the Giants. However, if they lose and Dallas beats the Redskins, it's Dallas who would get in at 8-8 and would host, who knows, in the first round of the playoffs. Maybe Seattle, which might they might even be favored in if Seattle has no players. We'll get to that momentarily. Excuse me. Troy Aikman's quote, Philadelphia beats Dallas yesterday 17-9. Troy Aikman's quote, maybe the best team win I've ever seen given the stakes, unquote. That's what Troy Aikman said. Now, Parlay, you're saying that's incredulous. What he means is not only the stakes, but the fact of all those injuries they had, right? Because Jordan Howard out with a shoulder. Nelson Agholor, knee. Lane Johnson, their standout tackle with an ankle. Already on IR, Darren Sproles, DeSean Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey, Malik Jackson. And yet, Carson Wentz and the Eagles, 30 of 39 for 313, one touchdown, one pick, sacked once. Miles Sanders, 20 of 79 for a touchdown on the ground, five receptions for 77 yards, 156 yards from scrimmage after a 172-yard from scrimmage game last week versus the Skins. And really, the only thing that kept the Cowboys in that game was Doug Peterson's ridiculous decisions. At the end of the first half, they decide up 10-3. They have the ball 4th and 6 of the Dallas 35 with 34 seconds left, and he decides to try a 53-yarder, which is like the last thing you should be doing when you're dominating. Of course, Elliott misses that, and the Cowboys matriculate, get a field goal of their own, take it 10-6 into the half. Then up 17-6, 4th and 5 of the Dallas 37 with just under 11 minutes left in the game. They decide, I don't know, why don't we kick a 55-yarder? And Jake Elliott misses that. Dallas matriculates, gets a field goal. So two-thirds of Dallas's points based on really bad decisions by Doug Peterson and the Eagles to try really long field goals. Like, what are you doing? Are you trying to let them back in this game? 552 total yards of offense for the Giants, by the way, in their win against the Redskins yesterday. Daniel Jones, 5 touchdown passes. Only Matt Stafford and Daniel Jones now, the only rookie QB since 1950 to throw for 300-plus yards and 5-plus touchdowns in a game. 11-play, 66-yard drive in OT to salvage the victory for the Giants. Saquon, 22 of 189 and a touchdown on the ground. He had 108 yards on his first 4 carries. 279 total yards, 189 rushing and 90 receiving and a score each way for Saquon. Unbelievable. I think the Giants are live here. I would only make the Eagles 3-point favorites, and I would imagine I'm going to be light on that, Chris.
Oh, yeah, you're very light. It's 4.5 and 5. I'm going to go with the 4.5. You know, you talk about Barkley. He had a big game. So Miles Sanders, you know, one of the guys from Philadelphia who was Barkley's backup mostly at Penn State until his final year. But he had a terrific game himself. And I'm glad you mentioned that Daniel Jones stat. I mean, that's really remarkable.
Yeah.
You know, and me, along with everybody else in the world, had plenty of question marks about this kid being drafted so highly. But, well, I'll tell you what, future's kind of bright for him, certainly. I don't know what the Giants are going to do as an organization with their coaching decision. I think they probably make a move. But, you know, I think in the right hands, I think Jones can really be good. In Philadelphia, you know, we talked about Carson Wentz before, where you had put him in that top category and then removed him. But
yeah,
yesterday, I think he really played well. And again, I'm looking at QBR, 61.1, which I thought would be like in the 90s. I thought he played great. But, you know, especially with, you mentioned a skeletal team of players for Philadelphia. So I'm going to go 4.5. I think the Giants are pretty live, but I do see some fives out there. I'm going to go with 4.5. I think that's plenty in this game. And, you know, I mean, this is how crazy this league is. the Cowboys certainly could win and host and be favored and beat whoever they play in the first round.
Exactly right. Think about
how nuts this world is.
That's how nuts this world is. The Cowboys at 7-8. It is not outlandish for them to win this division, because I don't think it's outlandish for the Giants to win this game against the Eagles.
No.
And then they could be favored in that game. We thought, oh, my God, a 13-3 Niners would come in. They could get a absolutely skeletal Seahawks team, perhaps. A lot of ifs in there.
Yes.
And then could be favored. Yes. So we're at the final game. Let's do the final game here, and we'll let Chrissy get to story time after the break, Jeff.
Game number 256.
There
Sunday
it is.
Night football, the San Francisco 49ers against the Seattle Seahawks, or whatever remains of the Seattle Seahawks.
This game was flexed. Time to have. That's for the 90s R&B people out there. San Francisco wins this game. Clinch home field advantage throughout the NFC playoff. That's the simple thing here. San Francisco beats the Rams. They beat them with a heavy heart. Third-string quarterback C.J. Beathard. Younger brother Clayton fatally stabbed earlier Saturday in Nashville. Niners still managed to put it together on Saturday and beat the Rams. Jimmy Garoppolo, mostly pedestrian game. Was sacked six times, but that final drive when they needed him. Emmanuel Sanders, blown coverage 46 yards down the middle of the field. San Francisco had failed on 50 straight third downs of 3rd-and-16 or more, going all the way back to week 3 in 2017. That was their first conversion since then on 3rd-and-16 or more. Kittle, once again, Garoppolo's biggest target, 5 for 79 and a touchdown. Seattle, here's the deal. They lose to the Cardinals, and that was bad enough for the Seahawks yesterday. But here's where it stands now for the Seahawks, and there's so many things to get to with them. One, they'll clinch the NFC West if they beat the San Francisco 49ers in this game. But because of that loss yesterday, they can only guarantee themselves with a win, even though they'll get the NFC West, they can only guarantee themselves as high as a number 3 seed. That is if they don't get help. Now, to get the number 1 seed, now the Seahawks could end up 1, Jeff and I were doing this before the show, they could end up 1-3-5-6.
1-2-3-5-6.
Is there a 2? Yeah, there's a 2. 1-2-3-5-6. Here's how they get to 1. One of two additional scenarios. First, Saints loss in week 17, Packers finish 1-1. Of course, the Seahawks would have to win themselves. Second scenario, Seahawks win, Saints loss, 0-2 finished by the Packers, 2-0 finished by the Vikings. To get to the number 2 seed, Seahawks win, Green Bay 1-1, New Orleans wins. Number 3 seed, Seattle wins, Green Bay goes 2-0. 5 seed, Seattle loses, Minnesota loses once, or Green Bay loses twice, and Minnesota wins twice. Following all this. And then finally, number 6, by the way, in that scenario, Green Bay would have the better conference record to get to number 5. That seems the most likely. And then number 6, maybe this is the most likely. Basically, all the favorites win. They're number 6. So in all the games in the NFC, moving forward, including tonight's game, if all the favorites end up winning, Minnesota beats Green Bay, then Green Bay beats Detroit, Minnesota wins, you know, all that stuff, they'll end up 6th. And then they will avoid the NFC East winner. They'll end up going to play number 3, whoever that might be in that scenario. But if they end up 5, they end up going to the NFC East winner. The Seahawks have allowed 27-plus points for the 8th time this season yesterday. So 27-plus points in 8 out of 15 games. They were 1 of 12 on third downs yesterday against Arizona. They only had 224 total yards of offense. They gained 49 total yards combined in the second and third quarters. And between the 6-minute mark of the first quarter and Tyler Lockett's 12-yard catch early in the fourth, they had exactly 1 first down. Here's the deal, though, with the Seahawks. They lose Chris Carson to a season-ending hip injury. Massive blow. This for the game against the Niners and beyond in the playoffs. They'll also be without Dwayne Brown, who's having surgery today for a knee injury that's bothered him for much of the season. Pete Carroll says it's not a major surgery, but that Brown could be back in a couple weeks if they're lucky enough to be around. C.J. Procise, again, or as Al Michaels calls him, C.J. Procise. He ends up fracturing his arm minutes after Carson got hurt. This on the heels of Josh Gordon's indefinite suspension, Al Woods' 4-game ban, and injuries to Carson and Procise come 2 weeks after Rashad Penny was out with the ACL for the rest of the year. So Travis Homer, their 6th-round pick out of Miami, he is your running back of record. But Jeff just told me before the break, say it, Jeff.
I'm not joking on both of these, that that there is interest, and it's not an impossibility that A, Marshawn Lynch, and another blast from the past, Robert Turbin.
Oh, come on.
I'm not kidding. Apparently Robert Turbin is going to visit with Seattle later today. Mike Garofalo said that about a half hour ago. So that's how bad it is right now for Seattle running back.
Oh, my goodness. Kurt Warner, Kurt with the C on the horn for the Seahawks. Wow. Who was the guy, number 37, who was a great fantasy player? What was his name?
Sean Alexander.
Sean Alexander on the horn for the Seahawks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. By the way, this is also with the Quandre Diggs, Shaquille Griffin, Jadeveon Clowney. They didn't play yesterday. We don't know what their status is. So the Seahawks in one fell swoop can go from this team that could have gotten all the way to number one to, oh, God, we're done in every way. Wow. What a turn of events. I have to get a line. I don't. San Francisco minus three on the road, probably a minimum. I'll say minus three just as a placeholder.
Yeah, it's three, but with a lot of juice on the favorite.
Yeah.
I see it even as high as three minus 30. But you know, everybody's afraid to go to the 3.5. I'm debating this one, to be honest with you. I'm not sure if I'm going to use 3 or 3.5 because I know if I use 3, they're going to live. I know if I use 3.5, they're going to take it. I think I'm going to open 3.5, you know, but it's funny. All the problems you just mentioned with Seattle, you know, I still have my questions about the Niners, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, their defense isn't playing that great as far as I could see. Garoppolo's, you know, still a little inconsistent. You know, it's still Seattle at home. But, you know, I don't know. This is a tough one. But I think three would be a one-way number. You'd have to lay three if you see that. But 3.5, is that too much? You know, might be.
Yeah, that'll bounce back and forth. Yeah, and Seattle.
Yeah, tough one. I don't want to get into that, you know, and I'm afraid I'm going to on a really, really big game. But, you know, that's the hill we're going to die on, these keeping everything at 11 at 10. I don't know if we're going to change it for next year or not, because, you know, when Michael started this and Frank Doty, I mean, we weren't handling nearly the money that we're handling now. And now some of these, if they fall three, I mean, it's, you know, some big figures.
Yeah.
So, you know, it might change. It might not. I don't know.
Can Russell Wilson put together a performance like Carson Wentz and the Eagles did yesterday with no players around him? We'll see. That's the flex game Sunday night. Big implications. Again, Niners win. They got home field throughout the NFC playoffs. Come back. A story time never before told from Chrissy Andrews. We promised you at the beginning of the season on Guessing Lines there would be a few stories this year. He gave one that had never been told before earlier in the year. We've got another one coming up next on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Hey, everybody. It's story time.
Hi, everyone. It's story time.
All right, Chrissy, you're up.
By the way, the Kevin White story was a great story. This is just a cute little story that I told people the other day. They thought it was pretty funny. I can't find the exact game. But anyway, back in my days at Cal Neven, my good friend John Falinski, he ran the John Esquaga's Nuggets sportsbook there. So kind of my MO, we'd put up the numbers on Monday, and I'd go out and see Johnny, and you know, we'd have a cup of coffee together, maybe lunch. And it seems like I always made it a point to go out there on disastrous weekends, and we'd come off a bad Sunday. this was one of those days. This, you know, came off a horrible, horrible Sunday. And one of the games that we lost, and I can't find the game. I was looking for it, and I can't find it. It was a pick'em game, but with each side favored by one at different times during the week. And the game came tied. You know, so it's just an incredible. And, it, you know, and I'm one of those guys too. I'll skip pick'em a lot and just go to one the other side. But, not always, but sometimes I'm a little quicker to move off that. And I did that, and John certainly did it too. And so I go out there, and we're sitting in his office. We're having a cup of coffee, just kind of crying on each other's shoulder from the day before. And as we're talking, Johnny's looking through his report. He's got a report of every game and every ticket written, you know, over X amount, looking at the tickets on every game. I think it was, yeah, so like any ticket over $50, he's looking through, looking at it. Ah, we love it. this guy had plus one for a couple thousand. This guy had plus one the other way for a couple thousand, you know, and he's like really pissing and moaning, you know, and I'm sitting there, yeah, we kind of did the same thing. And now he's looking, he stops for a second. He says, wait a second. Look at this. When I was at Pick'em, somebody bought half a point for 50 bucks, 60 to win 50. Somebody bought a half a point. Can you believe that? And I what? And yeah, somebody bought half a point, 60 to win 50. That's got to be the dumbest bet I've ever seen in my life.
And I'm sitting there
thinking, yeah, yeah. I said, it's the dumbest bet I've ever seen in my life, but it actually showed up. How do you like that? And Gil, honest to God, if you saw this in a sitcom, you'd think it's terrible writing that they would do something so corny like this. Right as we're saying that, it's a good friend of ours who had done that. And he walks right into Johnny's office, holding up the ticket, and like starts rattling the ticket and looks at us, wee! I fell off the chair laughing. I mean, I fell off the chair laughing. And John is pissed. And is get the hell out of my office. He throws the guy out of his office. And he's just like, can you imagine a 35-year-old man saying, wee? And like I said, it's just one of those silly, silly things. And now anytime I get a chance to say wee, especially in front of Johnny, I love to say it just to piss him off. You know, but like I said, just a cute little story. I didn't know we had this much time.
Did you end up asking him why he did that in the first place, though? Like, even though it ended up working out?
No, I didn't ask him. You know, it was just, you know, like I said, he's a good friend of ours, a kid that, you know, bets quite a bit. And I don't know where he even got the thought to do it.
You know, solid.
Like I said, was it a smart? No, it's one of the dumbest bets I've ever seen in my life. But, of course, it showed up. And on all weekends, this one where we just happened to get murdered in every game, and especially this one game where we particularly got murdered, and he bought half a point off of Pick'em to get plus a half.
That is awesome.
So, yeah.
That's awesome. So, the percentage of time, the percentage of results where that comes into play is so minuscule. Yeah. That's phenomenal.
Yeah. It's not worth an extra 10 cents. I know that.
Yeah, that's for sure.
It showed up this one time.
Wow. So, anyway, do you remember
that's
the year?
My brief little story.
Do you remember the year at all of that game?
It's late 80s, maybe early 90s.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, I was looking for it on Pro Football Reference, and there's a couple ties in there that none of them were Pick'em games that I could find. You know, so I'm sure someone will do some research and find it.
Yeah.
You know, but I can't. But it was just one of those things. Just, like I said, so silly, so stupid. If you wrote that in a sitcom, you'd say, boy, that's some really lazy writing. But I was there and witnessed it. It was hilarious.
Maybe that one will make the second installment of Then One Day from Chris Andrews.
Yeah. You know, they're really on me to do this, another book. And I don't know if I have enough stories of my own, but, you know, Roxy wants me to write some of his.
Perfect.
I know Jimmy's never going to sit down and write a book. So there's two fountains of stories between those two guys, and I probably hit up a few other guys too. And I have a few more, like the Kevin White stories are pretty good.
Oh, that's a phenomenal
and,
story.
And I think we'll probably put together another book.
That'll be the world's shortest chapter entitled Wee. That'll be a good one. Chrissy. Thank
How
you for story.
We, by the way.
I don't know. I go WH. Yeah, I go WH on that.
Yeah, I think so.
With
yeah.
as many E's as you want to put in after that, with an exclamation point. We'll wrap it up. We'll go back through the games that we like the best. Week 17, as squirrely as ever, with Chrissy Andrews, the star of the show, my Mishpucha, right here on Guessing Lines, Week 17, a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Look at that. Christmas music taking us out on a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Vegas Stats and Information Network, Sirius XM Channel 204. Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy holidays to all. Let's recap week 17, what we liked the best. Only two for me. Again, the squirreliest of all weeks. Week 17, motivations are strange. We don't know who's playing in some of these games. But what I ended up liking the most is I like the Chiefs. I guess 10. Chrissy's putting it up at 8 against the Chargers. I guess the only knock you could say here, And we talked about how there's no correlated parlays. But I guess the Chiefs could be scoreboard watching. And if they see the Patriots go out to like a zillion to nothing lead against the Dolphins, I suppose they could pull back. But they still got to win. So I still like the Chiefs. And then the other one I like is the Giants. I honestly believe that the Giants could win that game outright and the Cowboys could get in the postseason. But if you're telling me it's more than three and it's, what, 4.5? I think I like the Giants against the Eagles. So Chiefs and Giants for me. Chrissy?
I like the Chiefs. And I like your Washington Redskins. I just think that number is a little too high.
Yeah.
11. There's 11s around on that game. Quite a few of them. I told you I'm opening 10.5. But boy, that looks a little too high. And give me one more. Houston, by the way, Tennessee has gone to 6 almost everywhere. So I'm going to open 6. I know you got 5.5 written down there, but I'm going to open 6 because I even see a 6.5. I see a couple 6.5s. So I kind of like Houston in that game too.
Yeah, I think your Redskins one is on it because Case Keenum is going to make Redskins fans sit through another week where he's going to try to mess up Chase Young for him.
Yeah,
Jeffrey,
why not?
Combination of what you guys have said, Kansas City, that just feels like a total give-up spot for the Chargers, even though
they're already giving
they've
up.
Given up the entire season starting in week two. Let's also go with the Redskins as well. This feels like, especially if Keenum's in, this is going to be a total sweat for Dallas to even get a win in that game, even being a double-digit favorite. So, and you're going to be sweating it, Gil, because Keenum will have the ball down 4 with a minute to go with a chance to win and ruin Chase Young for
it. Someone get a hold of that guy. Tell him what's at stake here. You know what's funny is we joke sometimes. I was saying about the Cincinnati-Miami game earlier, how oftentimes if you have just a pre-flop game where you're totally getting crushed and your brain goes to, well, if we get a touchdown here, then we make a stop, we get the ball, and we get a two-point conversion, then we recover an onside kick, and we get another touchdown, two-point conversion, it's a tie game, and that actually happened with the Bengals, even though they lose in overtime. The other sort of, there's so many like cliches we say as bettors and as sports fans. One of them is Jason Garrett might get fired at halftime. There is a scenario here where Jason Garrett could get fired. Like if the Redskins lead at halftime of this game, oh my God, do we even see him emerge from the locker? Of course he will, but I'm just saying there's so many possible implications with these games. Chrissy, from me to you in our final minute here, I just want to say to you, for those who have taken this guessing lines, you know, the fact that you've been here the whole season with us every single week. And I know I don't want to be a guy who takes it for granted. You've made public your health issues that you've gone through. The fact that you have sat with us here and that you've been with us all year long, it's a blessing, man. There was a moment there where we all were so worried, so glad that you were joining us. And, of course, are on the network all day long. Just wanted to say to you publicly what I would say to you privately. Thank you, and it's so great to have you every week, Chrissy.
Well, thank you for having me on this show every week. And, I made it public. I know a lot of guys have done their own stuff and made it public. I figured, why not me too, you know? But at one point when this whole thing started, I was like a 3-1 dog. You know, I kept joking. I said, you ever go to the racetrack on a Saturday? There's a lot of 3-1 favorites. A lot of 3-1 shots come in. You know, so I was one of them. Although as it progressed, you know, the numbers got much, much better. That's the way my situation worked out. But I'm very glad to be here. I'm very happy and honored for the support that I've gotten from listeners and people on Twitter and things, and my bosses and coworkers here at South Point. So it's really been a blessing. I feel extremely lucky for the position that I'm in right now.
Yeah, that makes two of us. We all have a whole bunch to be thankful for this time of year for all kinds of reasons. And so thank you to the listener. Thank you, everybody who's listening right now who has been such a supporter of Guessing Lines and the podcast through the years and who joins us for Guessing Lines all through the year. The years now, plural as well, here on the Numbers Game at VSiN. We cannot thank you enough, both Chrissy and I and everybody involved in it. Thank you so much for listening. And I hope that the show is as not only as entertaining, but as value-laden as it always has been. Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas to yours. Have a great holiday. We'll come back. We'll talk to you on Thursday. Holiday programming between now and then. Good luck with all your bets in the interim. Merry Christmas, everybody.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.